Proverbs 18, my big fat mouth. It isn't your neighbor's big fat mouth, it's your big fat mouth. We're going to conclude this series here today, and I appreciate a lot of the comments I've received, and people have been really ministered by this, and I've been ministered to, and it's really convicted me. We've talked about complaining, criticizing, and lying. Well, this morning we're going to top it off and put the icing on the cake with gossiping. And we're going to kill some gossip in here this morning. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's begin. A lot of Proverbs are going to be flying at you this morning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let's read it together. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Irma Bombeck said, some say our national pastime is baseball. Not me, it's gossip. Wilson Meisner, who was a screenwriter, said, don't talk about yourself. That'll be done when you leave. One author said, if you can't say anything good about someone, then sit right down here beside me. Liza Minnelli said, in Hollywood now, when people die, they don't ask, did he leave a will? Instead, they ask, did he leave a diary? Gossip has been defined as anything that goes in one ear and over the backyard fence. Or one man defined gossip as hearing something you like about someone you don't. There's a couple of the ways that this has been translated, this passage, and that's more true. This is King James. There's a couple of ways truer to the ancient Hebrew. And let's look at these. First of all is the New King James. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Or Eugene Peterson translated it this way. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. And why do they translate it in terms of eating? Because the ancient Hebrew for wounds there in the King James really has the connotation of to gulp or to swallow greedily. There's various terms used in Scripture that can be lumped together in this gossip category. The first is slander. Colossians 3:8, but you yourselves are to put off all these things of the old life, right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. That word malice means ill will or a desire to injure someone with your words. Also, there's just what I'm going to call dirt, dishing dirt out on somebody. That basically means sharing the juice, the juicy information you've learned about someone. And maybe its intent isn't directly to cause damage, but by keeping it alive, it continues to spread and taint the image of the person you're talking about. Proverbs 20:19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Revealing secrets, dishing the dirt, keeping the juice flowing. Number three, rumors can be considered gossip. You hear something, and it's not good, and it's also not confirmed as true, but you tell someone or ask someone about it to get more info, and then the rumor mill turns, and the gossip spreads, and the machine keeps rolling. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Then there's backbiting. Backbiting is directly referred to in Scripture. It's that flavor of gossip that involves speaking spitefully or slanderous words about another who is not present and cannot defend themselves. It's secretive, and the Bible mentions that, Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Also, scoffers or scoffing can be considered a form of gossip in the Bible. It's jokes that are not really jokes. Have you ever taken some part of truth and turned it into a joke about someone that makes someone question that person's character? It's scoffing. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride to deride or mock another person. There's also just seeds that we sow. Seeds that are sown that start ideas flowing that we want to get something stirred up with. Isn't it weird how he keeps staring at your girlfriend? What are you talking about staring at my girlfriend? Now thoughts are rolling, suspicions are flowing. You just dropped a little seed of dirt in there. Amen. This message is going to get right down in your junk, so just hang on. There's no hope. There's hope at the end, but we're just going to face it head on. Come on, give me your hand. We're going to face it head on. Amen. Whispers in Scripture. Those are subtle insinuations that mislead others into thinking wrong thoughts. That we suspect and get that suspicion thing going. Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Amen. Then there's what I'm going to call got this all wrong gossip. You go admit somebody, listen, I probably don't have this right. But I heard, can you believe that? James 4:17. To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. One person said gossip can actually travel around the world and back before the truth can get out of bed and put its pants on. The fact of the matter is, when you've been stung by gossip, it hurts, man. It hurts regardless of how old you are. It can inflict pain into your life. Maybe you've lost a friendship. Maybe there's a relationship that's been completely destroyed because the rumor mill and gossip got started on you. It sunk deep into your heart or deep into someone else's heart. And the worst of all is when someone comes to you and gossips but disguises it as a prayer request. Listen, we got to pray for John. So one person said this, everything that is said must be true, but everything that is true doesn't have to be said. We should speak truth, but just because we know truth on somebody doesn't mean it has to be said. Some things we're better off just to keep quiet. So let me ask you a question. What do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as a talebearer and a gossiper and one who tears people down? Or do you want to be known as someone who speaks life and speaks encouragement over people and builds them up? Do you want to be known as a talebearer who carries tales and tears people down and speaks death over them? Or do you want to be known as someone who speaks life and speaks encouragement over people? Well, there's three groups of people or categories of people that gossip hurts, and I'm going to give them to you. Number one, gossip hurts the person that we're talking about. Gossip hurts the person we're talking about. If we're gossiping about someone, it's painful to them. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife. That's an evil man. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Maybe you've had a relationship that's broken down, or maybe even a family member that's no longer in your life or in your circle of communication because of gossip that was started. Maybe you confided in someone about an addiction you had and they went and spread that thing around and now it's like blown out of proportion and you think people think stuff about you and there's all this back and forth and what does he think and what am I looking like to them and there's all of this mill that starts rolling. Maybe you shared a struggle with someone that you had that was supposed to have been kept in confidence, and that person went and spread that struggle to other people, maybe even as a prayer request. And now this rumor mill is started, and it's just like not good, and you feel horrible about it, and you're embarrassed to go in front of these people anymore. That's the pain a person experiences when they're gossiped about. That's painful. But there's one thing about it. If somebody's gossiped about you and you felt the pain of that, things could be worse. You could be them. You could be the gossiper, and that's worse. Somebody shout amen or oh me. Secondly of all, gossip hurts the listener. Gossip hurts the one who hears gossip. Why? Because the Bible says that person's evil too. Uh-oh. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. And I bolded and underlined this one, and a liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. So it's wicked people that listen for the dirt on others, and it's liars that love to get into that. So if you listen to gossip, you're wrong. And here's the funny thing about gossip. Don't think for a minute, once they stop talking to you about someone else, that you're immune from them talking about you. Because as soon as you leave the room, guess what? Tag, you're it. And if we talk about everybody else in our circle of friends, guess what happens when we leave the room? They're talking about us. Craig Groeschel said, what you permit, you promote. What you permit, you promote. So when we permit that gossip to come into our lives, we actually promote the other people's actions. Bible says plainly it's wrong to listen to gossip. Third person it hurts is the speaker themselves. The person who is spreading the gossip. It actually damages them, and I don't think they realize it. Proverbs 25. Listen to this. The context is fascinating in this passage. It says, do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. He's saying, listen, if you go to court over something with your neighbor, you better watch out. Because once you get in court, everything's going to come out. And then you're in jeopardy of your reputation being ruined. It's better to take care of these things secretively or privately. And then comes this beautiful passage that I've quoted often but didn't fit it in that context. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Many of you have quoted that maybe. It comes right after this. Listen to the way Eugene Peterson translated this. In the heat of an argument, don't betray confidences. Word is sure to get around and no one will trust you. So the implication of this is, if I'm letting everything go and releasing everything I know and betraying confidences in doing that, I'm actually ruining my own reputation. I'm actually destroying my own reputation because now I'm the guy no one trusts. I'm the one who's going to blab everything that comes my way. And you could spend a lifetime building a great reputation and go gossip about somebody and then accuse somebody of something and it could turn around and destroy you. So let me ask a question. Have you ever been around a gossip and, you know, somebody just fires it up and burns up this online social media and burns up the telephones or whatever? And you've been around somebody like that and you came away thinking, man, I want to be like them. Just if I could just be like those guys. I don't think I've ever said that. Because when I'm around a gossip, I'm going to be really transparent with you as I've been over these 4 weeks. Sometimes I think too transparent, but nonetheless, here it goes. When I'm around a gossip, I think two things. Number one, I think they're small-minded. I think they're small-minded. One man said years ago, great minds talk about ideas, small minds talk about people. Great minds talk about ideas, small minds talk about people. I think they're small-minded. Is that all you have to talk about is what's going on in somebody else's life? Is that all you have to do is to run? And now we talk, always are talking about people, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But that gossip gets into this damaging talk of other people or exposing others' problems. Okay? Second thing I think is I wonder what you say about me when I'm not around you. Don't you feel that way? If you're around somebody that fires it up and gossips about everybody, you're thinking, wonder what they, I would love to be a fly on the wall, or maybe not, once I leave here. Well, we're going to cure gossip here. We're going to, two steps, very simple. Number one, say it with me, guard your ears. Look at your neighbor, point them in the face, and say, guard your ears. Guard your ears. Guard your ears. Guard what you hear. According to some psychological research published in a psychology magazine, this article said you can stop gossip with one question. You can stop gossip with one question. And here's the question. Why are you telling me this? If someone comes dishing dirt on somebody else and telling you, if you just stopped and said, hey, and why are you telling me this? It's like, doing. You could stop gossip dead in its tracks if you just ask, why are you telling me this? Or better yet, if you're not that sassy and not that bold and don't want to come at somebody that strong, maybe you could just say this. Have you had the chance to talk to this person about what you're saying? Have you had a chance to talk to them about this? See, we've had people come to our church staff and say, I'm telling you what, you don't know the life that this person's living. You need to kick them out of ministry. They don't need to be in leadership in your church anymore. And we've said, well, thank you for coming to us. Let's go get that person, and let's sit down, all three of us, and have a conversation. No, I'm good. All is good, really. It's okay. And it stops that conversation. Not that we're not concerned about people. We are. But, man, if you're going to bring something, bring it. Then let's be honest. Because I think that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. That if someone sins against you or offends you, you go to them. And then if they hear you, you've won a friend back or won a brother back if you go to them. If they don't, then there's other measures. Take a witness with you and try to reason with this person. But you can just go to them, and that's not always easy. It's not according to my nature. I don't like to do that. I've had meetings with people, and as soon as they walked out of my office, I had a migraine headache. Because I had so much pent-up anxiety because I didn't want to talk to somebody. And my dad gave me the best advice in the world years ago. He said, it's never going to be, usually never going to be as bad as you think. If you make the phone call. I had this issue in college. I wouldn't go check on my grades. I was at a major university, 25,000 students, and they used to post our chemistry grades by your Social Security number on a wall. And I'd take the chemistry test, and I'm like, I'm not going to look at that thing. I don't want to know, and I'm just getting on with my life, and I'm not doing that. My dad talked to me, and he said, just face reality. I still have an issue with that, but nonetheless, sometimes if we just face things, it's just better. Golly, I'm preaching myself into a hole. Y'all say amen? Guard your ears. Guard your ears. Second thing you need to do is close your mouth. Look at your neighbor. Point your finger in their face once again and say, close your mouth. Listen to this verse. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang out with chatterers. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang out with chatterers. Listen to Proverbs 21, and we're going to learn this one. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Let's read this together. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. One more time for good keeping. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Now, you've learned a Bible verse today, and it's a very good one, by the way, so give yourselves a hand. Hallelujah. Guard your ears and close your mouth, because when someone starts saying stuff, I mean, I have a habit of this, and maybe it's not good, but I'll just shut up. If somebody's talking negative and deriding someone, I close down. And I've had many times people are saying, you're uncomfortable with this, aren't you? You got an issue with this. I'm not really confrontational, so I just shut up. Or just go read a book. I love reading. I'd rather read than hear you talk about somebody. Amen? There's things I want to learn, and it's not about other people's lives. Oh, hallelujah, I'm sounding mean, but y'all love me, right? Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Oh, hallelujah. The problem with complaining, criticizing, lying, and gossiping is not really the mouth. I've been calling this your big fat mouth, but it's really not the mouth, it's the heart. It's the heart that's deceitful above everything else. It's the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's coming out of your mouth has first brewed or settled or simmered in your heart. And the heart is that spiritual center of man. That's why when you get born again and God really does amazing things in your life, your language changes. You start speaking differently because it reflects the inner portion of your heart, that spiritual center of a person. Amen? So it's a heart issue. And if we would realize that, that people who are gossips really have a heart issue going on, I think it may soften the blow somewhat. And also we need to realize that, you know what? Most people are just concerned about themselves. And if they're at home talking about me, I'm giving somebody else a rest. I knew someone who got in a lot of trouble one time. And they were on vacation. They got in a lot of trouble. I'm talking jail. I'm talking running from the police. I'm talking all. Then they came back to our hometown, and someone told them one day, they said, "Man, you're the talk of the town. Everybody's talking about you." And this person responded and said, "Well, good. I'm giving somebody else a break." And I thought, man, that is a great response. Good. I'm giving someone else a break. But you know what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And really, you can say whatever you want to about me, but it doesn't change who I am in Christ. You can call me what you want to, say what you want to, but it doesn't change my anointing. It doesn't change my destiny. It doesn't change my calling, because God said, "You're highly favored, and I've called you and I've ordained you a prophet to the nations." Hallelujah. I'll give you passages according to my heart, feed you knowledge and understanding. God gave me that verse years ago. It's what I'm called to do. Y'all didn't hire me, and y'all can't fire me. I work for a bigger boss than this. Hallelujah. Get that attitude about yourself. Come on, how many of y'all born again in here? Wave at me. Then you know what? You've been washed in the blood, sanctified in the Spirit, and you're a new creation. That's who God says you are. It doesn't matter what others say. That's who God says you are. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said you're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field and blessed coming, blessed going. I'm going to bless your children. I'll bless 1,000 generations of those who fear me, he said. Hallelujah. So that means my children are blessed, my house is blessed, my property is blessed, even my cat is somehow blessed. God brought him back from the dead. It's a true story. And I'm telling you, everything around us, I'm just being blessed. You know, when God blesses you guys, I don't get jealous. I don't go home and say, "God, why don't I have that beautiful new pickup truck?" I don't think like that. When y'all get blessed, I'm like, "Woo! I'm so, you got a new job? Y'all are pregnant with a new baby? Somebody got married?" I'm so excited, because if God's blessing my neighbor, then that means he's in the neighborhood and I'm next. Hallelujah. So I don't want to talk bad about you. I want to speak blessings over you and pour words of encouragement over you and say great things in your presence and out of your presence. So what would it look like if all the gossipers in this church, and this, you ain't know there ain't none in this church, so I'm just preaching just to the choir. What if we all started just speaking blessings instead of the bad stuff? Oh, Lord. What if we started speaking life over people instead of speaking the negative over people? You know, Jimmy and Cheryl, you know what I heard about them? I heard they're super nice people. Heard they love the Lord. He smiles at me every time I come through the church doors. We give a Kentucky fist bump, and only us can do that. Amen? Come on. I'm going to speak blessing over them. Amen? Come on. I'm going to speak blessing over them. You know, Tommy and Brenda, some of the nicest people I've met in my life. I said, in their presence, out of their presence. If I need encouragement, I go to Tommy Harris. We could have the worst guest preacher that has ever been created come, and everybody complain, and I'll go to Tommy and say, "What'd you think about the service?" "Pastor, I thought he's pretty good. I thought it went well." Yes, 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 yes. Encourager, speak blessings, speak blessings, speak blessings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Roger and Crystal, Roger Stables, great guy. I said, in his presence and out of his presence. He's come to this church, and you know what? We had a few small groups. Now we got up in the 20, 26 range. He's brought, I don't know how many people, 60, 80 people through the partnership process. He's always eating and he's thin as a handsaw. I don't understand that. We eat, it's like. We're in a meeting the other day. Roger walks out. He comes back in. I'm like, what is he doing? He sits down. He's got a bowl of popcorn. He's. What? He's a great guy. Amen. Conrad, Crystal, man, what powerful people. They love God, man. The fire of God's in them. I want to speak blessings, speak blessings, speak encouragement. Hallelujah, Tony and Janice. Tony's always got a joke somewhere hidden in the back on the phones. He's always laughing. He's always encouraging. Hallelujah. And you know what? When I speak of you like that, I'm actually depositing into your bank in our relationship. And I'm building up some good, and I'm building up some favor. So if you go through a hard time, we can get together, and we got something to draw on. But if every time I see you, I tear you down, I speak about other people, I rip into you, then man, you're in debt with my emotional account. And when I see you coming, it's like... You ever had those people? Don't lie. You're in Walmart, and you're like... Y'all never had that, I guess. But if you start building people up and pouring into them, you build up their emotional bank account, and it encourages them. And you know what? Maybe they're going through a day like no other day. Maybe they're facing something that they've never faced before. Maybe they're going through a trial. They've just heard bad news. Maybe they've had a bad doctor's report. And when you come and you speak life into them, it gives them courage, and it gives them the ability to face another 24 hours, to face another 48 hours, to face another the month, to make it to church one more Sunday. Hallelujah! I want to speak blessing and life over our church. We speak blessing and life over this church. I declare it's the happiest church in town. Hallelujah! You got the Holy Ghost joy over you in Jesus' name. Come on, I love our church. I love this church. I love our church. This week, I'm in Oklahoma, then I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, then I'm in Atlanta, then I come back. I traveled 1,500 miles by car, 4 plane flights, got up 4 o'clock yesterday morning and got home yesterday evening. But I'm looking at Facebook, and I saw our guys went over to Central Elementary School and dumped off a whole bunch of supplies just for these teachers, and so those kids have a little bit more to work with this year than maybe they had last year. That's what I'm talking about, blessing a community and speaking life. I wasn't able to go out there, but a few days ago we went to the Coast Guard base. Some of our staff and some of the guys that work at the Coast Guard base, they went over there for Coast Guard Day, and it poured the rain. But nonetheless, they stood there and gave out hundreds and hundreds of free snow cones to the military families with T-shirts on saying, "We love the military." Just to bless and just to encourage and just to speak life over our city. Hallelujah. I was looking at the Facebook the other day in my travels, and I saw the women's small group. How many of you women's small group people we have? They all come to 9 o'clock. Anyhow, they're all in 9 o'clock, and they were out at an elementary school redoing the flower beds. The women redoing the flower beds, man, just to be a blessing and just to speak life. We're getting ready to launch somewhere around 26 life groups in the fall. And here's what these guys have been doing. You got Kendall's life group. He goes out and he feeds the homeless. Then the other day they went to Happy Home Church, a sister church of ours, and these guys wanted to have a social event. Ken said, "Let us come and let us serve you so you guys can have your social, and we'll do all the cooking and we'll do all the serving." They go over and they serve that church that night. The pastor was so blown away and blessed by it. It was just amazing. We have other small groups that go out, hit the streets and pray for the sick. They go do all kinds of mercy type ministries. Used to we tried to do outreaches all together, and we have a couple left in the year, but now we have outreaches going on every month, sometimes weekly, out of small groups, with groups just going out like commandos of blessing and commandos of encouragement. That's the kind of church I want to be part of. It's a church that within the last 2 months, we've baptized 31 people. We've baptized 31 people. And I'm talking life change, man. Not just, hey, I just wanted to redo, a double dip, make sure everything. No, I'm talking total life change. Well, this is what the church is about. It's not about building a church so we can have all of our preferences and we have the color of carpet we want. We have the style of music we love and we have the... No, it's that we sit here and we get our hands and feet dirty and we serve the community outside these four walls. The church isn't built for you. The church is built for the world. Mike, wave at us. I hope I don't embarrass you, but can I tell your testimony? I already told it at 9, so. But this one's live. It's a lot more serious. Mike was baptized the last time we had baptisms. He and his wife both baptized. She had major surgery. I was praying for you going down that water. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help her. She had a back surgery. But Mike got baptized. And after the service, I walked out those doors, and he came up and spoke to me. And he said, man, I was a heroin dealer. And there's a gentleman in the church who saw me baptized and came up and hugged me. And he's a guy I used to deal to. And he said, I didn't know you were part of this church. And this guy said, but I've been attending it for 9 months. And then I see my old drug dealer getting baptized. And both lives have been changed. And I'm talking, that's what church is about. Hallelujah. Come on, that's what church is about. That's what church is about. Hallelujah. It's about lives being changed. Somebody going to heaven that was formerly going to hell, as Reinhard Bonnke said, we're plundering hell and populating heaven. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. Speaking life. You're going to make it, Mike, in Jesus' name. You're going to be strong in Jesus' name. I speak blessings over you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not a bunch of perfect people, but it is a bunch of redeemed people, hallelujah. A bunch of saved folk, a bunch of sanctified people, been brought out of the miry clay, set upon a rock to stay. God said before you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Now I call you blessed. Now I call you highly favored. Now I call you anointed. Now I call you separated. Now I call you a winner. You were a loser before, but now you win in everything, hallelujah. This is what it's about. Somebody give the Lord a shout, honey. Give him a shout, hallelujah. Come on, he took the chains off me and said, you can go free, son. He took the key and opened the prison door and said, now you're able to run on your own. Hallelujah. I didn't have the strength before, but now he injected strength into me and said, I've made you a mighty warrior in my army. Now you run and you run and you run. I've set you free. Go for it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, just give him a wave and give him a praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, everybody standing right now, please. Just grab someone next to you and say, I just speak life over you. Come on, I speak blessing over you. Come on, look to your other neighbor and just say, I speak blessing over you. Look behind you and just say, I just speak blessing over you. Come on. Come on, hands stretched this way. Lord, we speak blessing over the children of this church. We just speak blessing over them. Come on, yesterday, back to school splash, just speaking blessing. Can we speak blessing and have fun? I sure hope we can. Speak pouring in and speaking blessing. Gossip, be gone. Complaining, be gone. criticism, be gone. Somebody go back and open up the doors back there. Come on, open up both doors. Anybody, thanks, Jordan. Somebody just open them up. Put the foot pegs down. One, two, three, we'll shout, gossip, go. One, two, three, gossip, go. One, two, three, complaining, go. One, two, three, complaining, go. Come on, criticism. One, two, three, criticism, go. Lying. One, two, three, lying, go. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray right now. Bring us in some joy, Lord. Bring us in some peace, God. Come on, bring us in some encouragement, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring us in some good stuff, God. Hallelujah. Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up, and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me. It caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning. And it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.